I got an email from my boss a few weeks ago asking me to do a year review and to look at my job description and to see how this last year has been and to see the different goals that we had set a year ago and how that had gone and how we could improve our relationship, stuff like that. And for me, it was the first time because possibly I grew up in Costa Rica, and maybe Costa Rican companies don't do that very much, or maybe because I worked a lot in family-owned businesses. I don't know. But my first performance review was happening. I think I have my conversation with my boss tomorrow, so we'll see how that works out. But Jesus talks about a parable of a performance review, basically. He has two parables, the parable of the talents and this one, the parable of the minas, where the king goes away and comes back and he asks for results. And that's basically what a performance review is all about, is asking for results. Are we reaching our results? And so today I want to invite you to open your Bibles into Luke chapter 19. We're going to be reading the parable of the minas. Now, this one's very similar to the parable of the talents, which is perhaps a little bit more preached on and more known. Okay, there's a few. They're similar, but there's also differences. So I'm going to read it through, and then as we read it through, try and think what the difference is. Notice the differences that they have with the parable in Matthew 25, where Jesus talks about the parable of the talents, okay? While they were listening to this, he went on to tell them a parable because he was near Jerusalem and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. And he said, a man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then to return. And he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. Put this money to work, he said, until I come back. But his subjects hated him and sent him a delegation after him to say, we don't want this man to be our king. He was made king, however, and returned home. And then he sent for his servants to whom he had given the money in order to find out what they had gained with it. The first one came and said, sir, your mina has earned 10 more. Well done, good servant, the master replied. Because you have been trustworthy in very small matters, take charge of 10 cities. The second came and said, sir, your mina has earned 5 more. His master answered, you take charge of 5 cities. Then another servant came and said, sir, here is your mina. I have kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. Take out what you did not put in. Oops, I was afraid of you because you are a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and reap what you did not sow. His master replied, I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you, that I am a hard man, taking what I did not put in and reaping what I did not sow? Why then didn't you put my money on deposit so when I came back I could collect it with interest? And he said to those standing by, take his mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. Sir, they said, he already has 10. And he replied, I tell you that everyone who has more will be given, but he who has will have nothing, even that which we have will be taken away. But those enemies of mine who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me. Lord, I pray right now as we open up your word that you speak to us and that you touch each of us, Lord. We want to open our ears and open our eyes to what you have to say to us. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So there's several differences between this parable and the parable of the talents. They're very similar, but a couple of the differences. For one, the main one for me is that the parable of the talents, there's different amounts that are given to each of the servants. One servant is given five, another one's two, and another one. Whereas here, it's the same amount for 10 guys, one mina each. So that marks a difference. We often talk about the talents like we do in English. We say, oh, so-and-so is such a talented guitar player, and so-and-so is a good business administrator, so-and-so is an artist, and you've got to take those talents and give them to Jesus. And that's true. But this parable speaks to me, we're all given the same amount. So I think, what is something that we're all given the same? We're all given time, we're all given salvation, God's forgiveness, God's grace, God's love. All Christians are given the same amount. And so it speaks to me of that side. It's not so much of how we investing our talents, it's how we're investing our lives. And are we multiplying and giving out God's grace and God's forgiveness and God's love in evangelism to the people who need it? Another difference is the amount of money. A mina is a lot, is about 3 months' work, whereas a talent is many years' worth of work. And, but that's the detail, in the, as far as I'm concerned, in the difference between the parables. And the other difference that's quite noticeable here is that this parable in Luke speaks to all people, not just to the king's servants, because there's this group of people that don't want him as king, and he judges them as well. So it's kind of a universal parable in a sense. And there's an interesting component here. If we look at there's the component of this in verse 14, that there's some subjects that hated him, it says, and they sent a delegation after him that we don't want this man to be our king. Now that's kind of an odd thing that's happening in the parable. And there's a historical precedent to it. It turns out that this happened in the city of Jericho and in Judea, in Jerusalem, about 30 years before Jesus has preached this. Okay? So basically it goes down to King Herod. We think about King Herod, and King Herod was the first time is King Herod is mentioned is when Jesus is about to be born. Okay? The wise men come and talk to Herod, and they say, who's the king who's going to be born? And he gets jealous, and he goes and sends to kill all the baby boys that are 2 years old and younger. Okay? That King Herod is different from, that's King Herod the Great, and he is known for creating for remodeling the temple and for killing all those babies. About 2 or 3 years after Jesus was born, King Herod the Great died. And he inherited the kingdom to 3 of his kids. And they're all mentioned in the Bible, and we get confused. We think Herod is one guy. It's actually 4 guys, 1 dad and 3 kids. Okay? So one of them is Herod Philippi. And if it's mentioned in the Bible once, and I don't know if you remember when Jesus goes to Caesarea Philippi, it's Caesarea under the governance of this guy called Philippi. And so that's one, it's the least mentioned. And then he was Philippi was in the section of Israel that was kind of the most remote. If it was here in Guatemala, it'd be Petén or Izabal, way out there, okay? And then there was two other Herods that inherited different provinces, one of them over Galilee. And that's the one, if you remember, when Jesus was being judged right before his death, Pilate called Herod in. That's Herod, which one? Herod Archelaus. And Herod Archelaus was the one that was governing over Nazareth, where Jesus grew up. And the third Herod is the one that's related to this parable. And Herod, this Herod was inherited the governance over Judea and Jerusalem. And when he inherited the kingdom, he needed to go to Rome to receive his kingship. It wasn't like automatic. A little bit like just a few months ago or just a few days ago, here in Guatemala, we had a president and a president-elect. He was king-elect, more or less, and he had to go to Jerusalem, I mean to Rome, to get his kingship and come back with it. And that's exactly what this verse 14 talks about. It says, the subjects hated him, and they sent a delegation after him. We don't want this man to be our king. What happened to this Herod was that when he was going to Rome to receive his kingship, the people of Jerusalem sent a delegation to Caesar saying, we don't want him as king. So when he came back, there was a governance issue going on. So much so that he only governed for about 10 years. That is why when Jesus was being judged, he was judged by Pilate. Pilate was a governor from Rome instead of a king, Herod. Anyway, it's a detail, but it's interesting to see that Jesus mentions this. It's a historical truth that happened in this city where he tells this parable, and they would relate it to something that had happened in their lives. And this speaks to me as we preach, as we teach the gospel. It's always important to have it be related to their own lives. And sometimes as pastors, we preach and we always try and bring something into people's history or something they can connect to. And that's what Jesus is doing right here. Okay, so let's go through the parable verse by verse. Verse 11, it says, while they were listening to this, Jesus went on to tell them a parable because he was near Jerusalem and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem to be crucified. Perhaps there's a few weeks left in his life before giving his life on the cross. And so he's entering Jerusalem for the last time. He's going from Zacchaeus' house, which is the previous passage, going through Jericho, and he's on his way to Jerusalem. And he says, the kingdom of people were thinking that the kingdom of God was going to come quickly. There was a lot of people that were thinking that Jesus was going to take over, become king, and kick Rome out, and become the king of in Jerusalem. And Jesus tells this parable, letting them know that's not so fast. Yes, he will come and he's going to come back and be king, but that's in his second coming. Right now, that's not going to happen. He's reigning currently in a spiritual manner. And there's a second coming. And in that second coming, there's a performance review for you and I. So verse 12, he starts the parable. He says, a man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then return. So in the parable, there's someone going to come back as king. And that's exactly where we are. Jesus has gone, and he's gone and he will come back as king. He is king, but he's not. His kingdom isn't being recognized by everybody. It's being recognized by those of us who are Christians, who have submitted to his kingship, but most of the world is not submitted to his kingship. Most of the world is like these 10 servants in verse 13. It says, most of the world is like these people who sent the delegation. Verse 13, he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. Put this money to work, he said, until I come back. Other translations of this verse say, do business with this until I come back. Do business. This is an important concept. Do business means he wants these people to think and to invest. When we do business, we say, such and such a business is a good one, this one's a better one, that's not a good business. And if we have a certain amount of money, we want to invest in good businesses. And people with entrepreneurship and so forth look for the best way to invest what they're given and multiply that. That's what business is all about. And in a sense, God is asking us, okay, I've given you this forgiveness. I've given you this love. I've given you my salvation. What are you going to do with it? How are you going to do business with this? I want you to do this. I want you to multiply the salvation that you've been given and to let other people know that I'm Lord. Let other people know that I can forgive. Let other people know that I love them. That's the way I interpret this. Do business with this. And the other part of that phrase is he says, until I come back. We have to do business with the salvation that God's given us until Jesus comes back, or until he takes us to be with him, whatever comes first. But it's not a one-year review. It's not just do this for until you're 65 and then you retire. We need to be faithful to Jesus every day of our lives and multiply what he has given us. Verse 14, now it talks about this. He says, his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, we don't want this man to be our king. We don't want this man to be our king. This describes a little bit of the people outside of Christ's church right now. They don't want Jesus to be their king. You talk to someone, to an average person out there, and church is great for you, but not for me. I don't want to have Christ as king. You give a tithe, forget it. I'm not interested in that. And people don't want Christ to be their king. And this parable describes the end of them, which is very important for us to keep in mind as we are trying to participate with Jesus in the kingdom. Verse 15, he was made king, however, and returned home, and he sent for his servants to whom he had given the money in order to find out what they had gained with it. So there's a day of reckoning. There's a day of performance review. There's a day of accountability, rindiendo cuentas. You have to answer. And the first one came and said, sir, your mina has earned 10 more. This guy had done an amazing thing. He had taken one mina and had 10 timed it. He'd made 10 minas with that. And I love it says here, sir, in verse 16, it says, sir, your mina has earned 10 more. The servant isn't talking about him. He's like, oh, you gave me your mina, and I earned 10 more. I love the phrase, the way it says, your mina. Your, what you have given me has multiplied. It's talking about stewardship. We are stewards of what God has given us. God has given us his salvation, his love, his forgiveness, his grace. Your grace, your forgiveness has given me much more. Well done, verse 17. His master replied, because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities. And I love in the parable, this trip while the king was away was kind of a test of character. He was testing the character of these 10 servants to see what they were made of. And when he came back, the king in the parable would reign with these 10 servants. And this first servant would reign over 10 cities. Imagine him as alcalde, as mayor of 10 cities, and under the direction of the king, but leading with the king. And it's an interesting thing to apply it to our own lives. I want to reign with Christ. I want to reign with him. And there's several passages that talk about that we will reign in the kingdom. And so somehow God is going to give us authority based on what we're living here. Jesus' answer, or the king's answer in Jesus' parable is in verse 17. Well done, my good servant, his master replied. Because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities. The second came and said, sir, your mina has earned 5 more. And his master answered, you take charge of 5 cities. So he's giving congratulations to them. And Jesus summarizes, he doesn't give the parable here for all of the 10, but the day of reckoning comes in verse 20. Another servant came and said, sir, here is your mina. I have laid it away in a piece of cloth. There's a word play here. The piece of cloth in Greek is a sudario, which makes me think of a handkerchief that people use to take the sudor away. And so this guy had hidden the mina in a handkerchief. Imagine that. And had put it away. So his mina would come back perhaps smelling of work, but not really reflecting true work. The true work was in the first 2 servants that had gotten it and multiplied it. And the wordplay is interesting. God wants us not to have the appearance of work, but to really work towards the kingdom. And that's a thought for you and for me, for all of us. Jesus, I don't want to just appear like I'm working for your kingdom. I want to really be multiplying what you have given me. I want to invest my time, invest my effort, do business with what you've given me, and use that business mind to multiply your love. Then the useless servant responds. He says, I was afraid of you, verse 21, because you are a hard man. You take out what you did not put in, and you reap what you did not sow. So this third servant returns his money, and he says, I was afraid of you because you are hard. You want results. And you reap what you did not sow. Now, my question is Jesus this way? Is our King this way? No. He's not a hard man, but it's interesting, the master's reply in verse 22, he says, the master replied, I will judge you by your own words. So the master's not saying, yeah, you're right, I like to reap what I didn't sow. But he says, basically, if that were true, let's see. I'm going to judge you by your own words. I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you, that I am a hard man, taking out what I did not put in and reaping what I did not sow? Why then didn't you put my money on deposit so that when I came back, I could have collected it with interest? Instead of putting it in your handkerchief, at least put it in the bank. If you didn't want to make a big effort, at least put it in the bank and I would have gotten something out of there. But this guy didn't do anything. And I perceive the king is angry. He's mad at his servant. The performance review is not going well. Okay, you're a wicked servant. And then he says to those standing by, take his mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. Give it to the one who has 10 minas. And I perceive the king here, he's angry at this servant because he wasn't being loyal. He wasn't really being loyal. He didn't listen to the command of do business with this. And he wasn't making an effort to do that. So a thought for us, in what ways are you being loyal? In what ways are you making an effort? In what ways am I making an effort in the kingdom now? Verse 25, he says, sir, they said, he already has 10. And he replied, I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. But as for those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. In our own logic, you think about parents with kids. It's like, it's not fair. You have to cut a cake exactly the same. You have to be very exacting to the kids. And if they get a present, they're going to know that if you got a cheap present for one, that, you know, they want justice. And look at this and you think, is this fair? And in a sense, it's not. Jesus is saying, no, it's not equal. I started off equal to all, but according to your faithfulness. And then he's given more responsibility to the one who had been more faithful with what he had been given. And then verse 27 is the end of the parable. It says, those who, enemies of mine, who did not want to be me to be king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me. Now, when we read this, it's like, whoa, this is not my Jesus. Right? You read this and like, Jesus is all love. But it makes us think. The word here about kill them is the Greek term is katasphato. Makes us think of catastrophe. Kind of, it's a I want a complete killing. Some versions talk about beheading, cut their heads off in front of me. So Jesus is telling this parable on his way to Jerusalem before he is about to give his life for us. And there's a strong word used here, and it makes me think, Jesus is going to judge everybody. And that's why it's important to be part of the kingdom. Your neighbor who doesn't know Jesus, your neighbor who does not follow him, in the end, if they die without knowing Jesus, this is the truth in their lives. I know we like to think of hell as a place that that Satan is the general manager of. In the jokes on news cartoons, Satan is the general manager of hell. But you know who created hell? Who created hell? God did. And there's a reality of imminent death to anybody who does not trust in Jesus. And this verse speaks to about that. And it kind of puts it in perspective, the reason that I'm called to multiply the love of God that he's given to me is because if I don't do that, the people who don't come to him are going to come to the truth like these guys in verse 27. So this parable is about all people. Those who are outside of the kingdom and those who are inside of the kingdom. And then those who are inside of the kingdom get a performance review. And it speaks to me that two things that I want to conclude with. Evangelism is important. Evangelism is important because those who do not trust in Jesus are facing a death in front of Jesus someday. That's why it's important. It's important to get people into the kingdom, to be part of that truth, bringing people into the kingdom. Evangelism is important. And number two, faithfulness is important. There were servants before the king. We are servants before the king. Are we doing business with God, what God has given us? Are we being faithful with what God has given us? Or are we being distracted? Are we being lazy? Jesus is going to return and he's going to hold us accountable. Do you want the kingdom to grow? Or you just want to make it appear like you want the kingdom to grow? I know this is an exhortation, but Jesus puts this here as an exhortation for us. We're going to get a performance review. How well are we doing business with what the grace that God has given us? And we will answer to Jesus when he comes back. Pastor Mark usually dismisses us, and he has a little phrase, everybody's going somewhere, but you go nowhere by accident. So this week, wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, he has a purpose in you being there. Christ really dwells in you, has something he wants to do through you where you are. Today I'm going to add, remember that at the end, he's going to ask us for a performance review. We're not just going places, but he's asking us, how did it go? How's that going? Just take a moment to think, Lord, what would you have me do? What would you have me know from this parable that we've looked at today? I'm going to take a moment in silence and then we're going to pray. So, Father, we thank you for this word. And, Lord, we put ourselves in your hands. And we want to be faithful. We want to be faithful servants. We don't want to be lazy. We don't want to be distracted. And we want your kingdom to grow. Thank you because you have trusted your love to us. You have trusted your grace to us, your forgiveness to us. So, Lord, today we say yes. We want to do business with what you have given us, and we want to multiply what you have given us. And we thank you, Lord, and we just pray, Lord, that you bring this word to be truth in our lives. In your name we pray. Amen.